everyone. Welcome to this episode of Cancel 38. You know who we are. Okay, what are we doing today, Claire?
This is about to get very, very intense.
This is probably going to be our most viewed episode.
Wait, I don't want to say that.
Okay, well, second to the first one that is.
This is just very high discussion tense here. Okay, so basically we came out with an episode called Is Our College Actually Catholic?
How Catholic is our college? Or something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. And obviously it got the attention from the administrators because we got a lovely email from the president of the college herself, President Katie Conboy.
To the entire college and also to family, all of that. So this was yesterday. We're looking at about, what time was this sent? We're looking at, basically 24 hours later, here we are. So in short summary, this entire email is just her taking points from our video, calling them misinformation and then trying to correct them.
Right. And she was, addressing that there were some students spreading misinformation, but obviously, I mean, if you watched that episode, you can connect the dots very, very clearly that every single one of those points came straight from that video. And she should have honestly said, "Dear entire school, family, parents, alumni," but also this letter is directed at Claire and Macy. She should have said that.
Yeah, she called us. She said individuals. She didn't call us by name. She didn't even say students. But it's very obvious that she's talking about us. So
this should be honestly our letter back to her.
Yes. So this is our correcting of the misinformation behind the letter of her calling our video misinformation.
Fortunately, we do have receipts for everything, and everything that we say here on the podcast is factually true, and we do our research. We make sure we're very careful with our verbiage. So let's get into it.
Okay, so this is called Strengthening Our Bonds, sent April 30th, 4:15 p.m. Okay, so first paragraph. We're just going to read every single paragraph and then have our comments and correct stuff following. Dear St. Mary's friends, St. Mary's is a community of learners, and we cherish informed, vigorous discourse anchored in a commitment to both honest exchange and respect for the dignity of each member of our community. I write today because there is a misinformation circulating about the college that is demoralizing and harmful to our faculty, staff, and administration. That is, to the very people who dedicate themselves every day to this institution and who make the education and support of our students their life's work. I'm concerned for our students, too, as this misinformation contradicts and diminishes the positive campus experience they are enjoying. To be clear, even unintentional misinformation hurts these valued members of our community, and I take seriously my responsibility to correct it. So first thing I know we both, and I know a lot of people realized, was I like how students were an afterthought. I feel like as the president of the college, we should be the first thought. But she's a lot more focused about her and her friends and their reputations.
It's demoralizing and harmful to the faculty, staff, and administration.
Oh, and the students.
Oh, yes. And we're concerned for the students, too.
So we're starting off strong with...
Are we surprised, though? No.
No.
We are not, because she has had a very strong history of, you know, screwing over the students.
Yeah.
And not keeping us informed of anything.
Starting off strong for putting students last. Cool. All right. Next paragraph. The origin of these inaccuracies goes back to November, when a non-discrimination policy approved by the Board of Trustees, of which I'm a member, became public before we were ready to release it. The board believed this policy was consistent with our commitments to Catholic social teachings on human dignity and solidarity. Respecting our bishop's requests that we reconsider, we step back from the policy in December. Bishop Rhodes immediately acknowledged the step, saying, "I'm happy and grateful that St. Mary's College has returned to its previous admission policy." He concluded affirmingly, "May truth and love abound at St. Mary's as it moves forward to bring unity to the college community." I want to say plainly that the non-discrimination policy advanced earlier by the Board of Trustees is no longer on the table. I hope this might help any members of our extended community who have lingered in that moment to work towards the unity we seek and to accept that the board acknowledged mistakes and apologize for them in December.
So she talks about the policy and says, you know, we were not ready to... It became public before it was ready to be released. However,
it was already on the website.
Why in the world, why would any president of a college in their right mind release this serious and this big of a new policy onto a public website and say that it wasn't ready to be released?
So it was on the website.
It was publicly released.
Yeah, it was. Well, she just, you know, kind of slid it in there. So I guess she didn't, ever make a public announcement, hey, here this is. I don't even know how long it was on the website.
I don't know how long it was on the website.
However, she just kind of slid in there and didn't say anything.
Who knows if she even had the intention of, you know, publicly making, like, any sort of announcement. I'm assuming that she wasn't going to do that.
Honestly, yeah. I feel like it would have been, like, a casual little, just, oh, we're going to hope that they don't notice it because we don't want, you know, the sensible people to freak out.
Yeah.
Like we did.
And then men were supposed to show up as our roommates without us being informed. So that was the game plan for sure.
Yeah. So next paragraph.
Can we just like say really quickly, yeah. Like the board believed that the policy was consistent with our commitments to the Catholic social teachings. Nothing about this policy actually followed any sort of Catholic teachings. You know, obviously God, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it states that, you know, God created man and woman, and mm-hmm. they need to respect the identity that they were born with.
Yep.
So none of that had followed the Catholic Church teaching.
One reason I care deeply about redressing misinformation is that it can pull a community apart in a time when it needs connection. Side note, I love how liberals always just throw the word misinformation out just to try to control.
I know.
And get, you know, try to take away our rights to free speech. Anyways. Words matter. In St. Mary's, people have a long history of caring about words and understanding their impact. I believe that as a Catholic college, St. Mary's should ask for and strive for a high standard of discourse, where we take care to ensure that what we say is actually true, where we check for accuracy before we share information, and where we bring disagreement into respectful dialogue that aims for understanding. She's just saying words. This is especially important if the information could be damaging to an institution we all love or to the people who sustain it. Here are the primary examples of misinformation I'd like to clear up. It follows it with a bunch of bullet points, which we will get into.
Okay, so, yeah, this is just really, really kind of comical because, you know, she says that we should ask for and strive for a high standard of discourse, and we should say everything, before we say anything, we should make sure everything is factually true. And again, she's talking about Macy and I and all of our lies that we shared. When in reality, everything we said was in full truth, and we did research before we uploaded that video, and we have welcomed anybody who has an opposing opinion on the podcast.
Yep.
So,
and even private conversation too. We don't need to like put this out for you know the world to see if you don't want to. I mean, that makes sense.
Right.
Anyway, so then follows it up with a bunch of bullet points. So we'll hit each one by one. First one. It has been stated that we have lost our Catholic identity and that one would have to look hard to find it today. In a letter published in yesterday's Observer, Sister M. Veronique, CSC 70, president of the Sisters of the Holy Cross, our founders and ongoing sponsors, argues that our Catholic identity is alive and well at SMC. Sister Veronique also clarifies what seems to be a common misunderstanding about the Church of Our Lady of Loretto. The church belongs to the Sisters of the Holy Cross, not the college. St. Mary's has no involvement or input in the liturgical decisions at Loretto. A number of students, faculty, and staff join the sisters in their vibrant Loretto community for services, but the college provides its own Sunday and daily masses on campus. Okay, so in short, this whole letter, you can go find it online by the Observer. It was by that sister. Basically disagreeing with all the claims that we and many people have about the fact that, like, you have to dig to find Catholic identity here, which we still stand by that, you know? I mean, like, yeah, they offer masses, but, for me, the difference between, like, for example, here in Notre Dame is huge. Like, you're over there and, like, you know that it's a Catholic campus, mm-hmm. but here, absolutely not.
There's nothing traditional about this campus whatsoever.
Exactly. So, but the best thing about that letter is the editor's note that follows. It is long and is based. Like, they are, again, go read it for yourself, but they are calling out all the claims that the sister's making against us mm-hmm. and all of, you know, family, friends, supporters that disagree with the Catholic direction that the school is taking right now because it honestly seems like it's non-existent. So, do you have anything to say about that?
No, that pretty much covers it. I think that, you know, the editor's comment was very based, and you should go read it and see what you think about it for yourself.
Yep, okay. So next one. It has been stated that our curriculum does not include a sufficient number of courses in Catholic theology and that we teach unsuitable courses in our general education curriculum. As we've been reporting regularly over the last year, the new Avenue curriculum is under construction and its implementation will lead to new general education requirements. St. Mary's will continue to require coursework in theology, religious studies, and philosophy, all of which are foundational in the Catholic intellectual tradition. That said, the current curriculum offerings are fully in line with courses taught at many Catholic liberal arts colleges. Moreover, the SMC faculty bring tremendous knowledge and creativity to both the content and the pedagogy. pedagogy of their courses.
Yeah, so this is exactly the issue. The issue is that she sees no issue that at a Catholic school, you know, there are 113 courses that will cover your gender women's study requirement, whereas there are roughly 55 classes that will cover your religious study curriculum.
But also what's funny about this is it seems like she also is kind of a, like, not telling us that we're wrong and that there's unfitting courses. Because she says the new, like, they're, it's under construction. The curriculum's under construction with the new Avenue program that they're calling it. So I'm hoping that that means that it's going to get better. But also I'm a little bit nervous because the school doesn't have the best track record of, you know, courses in line with its foundations here. So could it get worse? Probably. We'll be watching that very closely because it sounds like it's about to be very interesting, whatever it is. So hopefully it's heading in a good direction, but we'll see. Okay. Yeah, by the way, that came from when we pointed out that there's 113 classes under gender and women's studies and then 56 under Catholic teaching. That was in the video. And yeah, it may be cross-listed courses, but then that begs the question again of, okay, well, why is it cross-listed?
Why are there so many?
Because there's that kind of material being taught in the class, obviously. Mm-hmm. Anyways. Next point. Oh my gosh. Okay.
I know.
This one.
This one's going to piss me off. This one is actually going to piss me off.
Okay. Content warning for this part. This is probably the worst part.
So if you're in, like, the car driving with your kids, maybe, like, turn this off right now.
Yes. This, as much as I don't want to have to make this, you know, an R-rated podcast, I think that that's what we're going
to
do.
I didn't think we would have to address this in the last episode that we talked about this because, you know, it was self-explanatory. But because President Conboy, you know, disagrees with us, I think we really need to dive into it.
Yeah, so let me read the paragraph. It has been stated that individual faculty members are teaching inappropriate and unsuitable materials in their courses. These statements come from just a few individuals who openly admit that they have not enrolled in these classes and have not read the books and other course materials. We will protect the academic freedom of faculty members to choose the text, materials, and methodologies they utilize in the areas of expertise. Okay, first of all, yes, we're not in those classes. Doesn't mean that what happened isn't true. Okay, we have
this
a source.
This is a literature of social justice class that was being offered.
By Julia Dower. No, we're not in the class. We'll openly admit that. Again, that doesn't mean that just what happened isn't true. We have a very reliable source who has sent us pictures, who we've been in close contact with. They are horrified, and we are speaking on their behalf.
And not to mention that this course that she had to take, she had to take it because it's the only course that could fit into her schedule that would fulfill one of the SOFIA or Gen Ed requirements.
Yes, this is
so
an
she
English
had no
class.
Way no way out of it, which is actually disgusting because she should have been given a trigger warning for this book that they were forced to read.
Yeah,
which is called "Salvage the Bones."
Salvage the Bones by whoever. Let me find the. The pictures actually, oh my gosh, okay, this one gets me really upset. So viewers, you're about to see another side
of me. So long story short, it's erotica. It's honestly a pornography little skit about a 14-year-old
girl. About a minor. Mm-hmm. This is child pornography. They're having to read in an English class. This is Salvage the Bones. Jasmine Ward. I already said the name. Julia Dower.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they're being forced to read in their class. Okay, this wasn't an option. They have to read this in the class. Salvage of Bones by Jasmine Ward. First of all, quick Google search. Look it up. You can see that there's been efforts to ban this book for good reasons. Okay, it's about a minor engaging in extremely sexual activities. It even talks about rape. Very, very graphic details of a minor. So this is child pornography in a book that we are having students being forced to read at a Catholic women's college. So, we talked about it, and apparently that wasn't enough for Conboy, because in that paragraph, you saw that she not only didn't denounce it, but she supported it and encouraged it. Mm-hmm. So, Katie Conboy, let me read you parts from this book. I went through and highlighted. I went through the pictures that we were sent. Again, this is a book you can find online. There's been efforts to ban it because, again, this is child pornography in a book. So, first of all, this is about a 14-year-old girl having sex. In the book, we found out that she was 12 when she had sex for the first time. It goes into very graphic detail. So, here, let me read it. Graphic warning again, but if this is the only way that we can get the point across, then I'll do it. As much as I hate to have to say these words out loud, I'll do it. He grabs my hand and pulls it toward him, wraps my fingers around his dick. Around 3 years ago, I saw him having sex with a girl. Go on to another page. The only thing that's ever been easy for me to do was sex when I started having it. I was 12. Go on further. Manny touched me first where he always touched me, my ass. He grabbed and pulled, my shorts slid down, his fingers tugged my panties, blah, blah, blah. I am about to throw up reading this. Again, this is very graphic details. He was peeling away my clothes like an orange rind. It'll be quick, I thought. He will bury his face in my hair. He will growl when he comes. I knew him and I knew his body best. I loved him best. I showed him with my hips. There's more, but I'm just going to stop going into it because I feel horrible even reading that.
If you're curious, just go ahead and look up the book itself. My thing is like, okay, someone explain to me then if we are incorrect in saying that this is so wrong and so screwed up and that this professor, Professor Dower, shouldn't be teaching this in her and forcing students to read this. I don't even think we should be, or I don't even know if we can say this, but why is she having her classes monitored? That's what I want to know. Why did she all of a sudden just announce that she's leaving the college immediately after the podcast episode came out? Obviously, something fishy was going on. Something she was doing was totally wrong because she wouldn't be leaving the college otherwise. So I don't know if she's leaving herself or being asked to leave, but something's going on, and President Katie Conboy does not want to admit it.
If we get kicked out or punished for exposing child pornography, being forced to be read in classes, then fine, kicking out.
It's kind of crazy though, because she says that, you know, we'll protect the academic freedom of the professors and to teach what they want at the
freedom
school.
To show pornography in book form, huh?
Exactly. But she also doesn't even admit that we were wrong. She kind of is like, oh, so it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, they have the academic freedom, they can teach whatever they want. That's kind of screwed up.
Yeah, so if you're not awake to intentions of this college, I hope that bullet point did it for you. Because Katie Conway not just didn't denounce, but she encouraged and supported child pornography in an English class. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I just had to read that. I'm sorry that I had to read that, but if that's what I'm going to have to do to get the point across, then so be it. Okay, this is completely inappropriate at any college, in my opinion, but at a Catholic women's college, this should not be a requirement for students to have to read this. There should have been a graphic warning. This shouldn't even be read in this class. Of course, it also has, like, what does it have to do with the class? It's an Professor, English class.
No, Professor Dower, that is, like, beyond me that you, you know, read this book and you're like, oh, yeah, this is the book we're going to read. This is going to be great. That's kind of weird.
Like,
that's kind of weird.
Yeah. Okay, I just need to stop talking about this because I'm getting riled up and I'm very, very upset right now. Yeah, so I apologize that we just had to read that. I hate that I just had to read all that for the public to see, but again, if that's what's gonna take to get the point across,
get mad at
there
it
is.
Boy.
Wake up, people.
Yeah.
Okay. It has been stated that we had a large issue with first year retention this year. One letter saying that we lost 87 students from our first year class. In fact, the college had its highest retention rate in recent history. 98% of our first year students chose to stay at St. Mary's from fall to spring. So this is a lie. She made up this number because we can go online and find the fact booked right there. So someone said that there was 87 lost because there was, because if you go to the fact book, this is for first year students specifically. You can go on. You can see fall semester of 2023, 434. And then their same fact book says spring semester 2024, 347. So that went down by 87. Again, there were 434 in the fall of 23 and 347 in the spring of 2024. So,
where did those numbers even come from?
So where does the 98% come from?
I think she just, like, picked a number that she liked.
Exactly. So, again, this stuff is public information, too. So
look it up. Everybody has full access to this. I don't know, like, why President Conboy, like, thinks that these aren't things that we're fact-checking again.
Exactly. And it's also, it's not like we're, like, exposing anything secret. Like,
this is all public.
This is all public information. Okay, so there's nothing we're doing wrong here.
Exactly.
So that's just a funny stat because it's just simply wrong. Like, the 98% no idea where the heck that came from. Okay. Next one. It's been stated that St. Mary's College is behind in its fundraising efforts. In fact, we just raised the largest amount ever for our donor challenge. Additionally, we are significantly ahead in cash gifts received this year over last year. And even though we are in the quiet phase of comprehensive campaign, we have already exceeded the fundraising totals for any previous St. Mary's campaign. We are grateful to all of our donors. We are so fortunate that our institution is in excellent financial condition, that endowment has experienced significant growth over the last 4 years, from $199.2 million in June 2020 to $323.4 million at our last quarterly report.
So this is completely false. Never once did we say that we were behind on the fundraising efforts in terms of donor challenge.
We said this. We said that they're not. We said this. I think it was a different video, but we said, no, they aren't behind in monetary value that they've raised. They are behind in the amount of donors that they have. It's a significant
decrease. We first also said that they lost, like, some of their biggest donors because of this whole transgender policy thing. That was totally separate. We never stated that they, like, earned less on Donor Challenge Day. They did earn more. However, the number of donors was significantly less, almost half than the donors they had last year. So I don't know if President Convoy is, you know, tugging on the arms of her rich friends and saying, probably, you guys need to donate, otherwise it's going to make me look bad. But I'm kind of thinking that's exactly what happened. How long can she keep this going on for, though? It's not like people are going to keep coming back and emptying their pockets for President Convoy. Yeah. But I think that's super, super interesting, because also we never, ever said that. So President Convoy, you have lied point after point, and it just continues.
This is great. Like, at this point, why do people still want her? I'm sorry. Like, the way that she's lost everyone's trust, she's now, we can see, is lying to people's faces.
It's sad.
PR's freaking out. Like, her team, they're freaking out. Because, you know, we're not going to sit back and let her destroy what is so amazing about this college, okay? And, of course, people were saying, like, oh, we're damaging the reputation of the college. No, we're not. Again, we're advocating for the college. We're advocating for the foundations that the school is built on that we've lost because of people like Katie Conway, Dan Horan, all of that. So, I won't even read the last two paragraphs just because it's all just words.
It's just like, I don't know why President Convoy think this is like a whole little like gotcha moment, considering that she tried to pull a bunch of this stuff before and she's, you know, known for covering stuff up. But, you know, just because we're 20 and 21 does not mean that we, you know, don't do our research before we speak on certain issues. But it's just embarrassing because why does she think that, you know, after she gives us all these fancy little statistics that we're just going to trust her when in reality we have every single receipt proving that she's lying?
Yeah, so a big issue is that a lot of people will just, like, read stuff from her and they're like, okay, and they believe it. But it's like, no, like, that's such a horrible thing to do in life. Like, you need to question everything, you need to research everything, you need to see it for yourself. So that's what we've done. And again, all this stuff is public information. Okay, we have backed everything up with facts, with evidence. So there it is. She tried to say that, you know, we're the ones spreading misinformation, but just like we did in the first video, everything is backed by data, by numbers, by evidence, okay?
And if you don't believe us, you can seriously find a bunch of this information online and make up your mind for yourself. You need to fact check the president. You can't be trusting everything she does because she's not a trustworthy president by any means.
So I hate that we're back on this. I thought that we were going to be able to, like,
move on.
Not really move on, but at least just, like, not get riled up about this again. But I'm very riled up, you know, this, and a lot of people are too. This isn't just you and I. We have thousands of friends, family, supporters who are very riled up about this because everyone in the community got this email and everyone is calling it for the bullshit that it is. Sorry for the language, but, you know.
That's true.
So, we're 20 and 21. We're, you know, just students or whatever. But we're going to keep working to try to restore sanity here because the direction we're heading and where we are at now it's a scary place here.
And I would just like to pitch in, like, students, if you're listening to this and you have content that you want to send in to further expose the corruption at school and expose how anti-Catholic this college is, totally send it in because we are being sent so much overnight and we are just here to expose it. Because, you know, the school's not going to change unless they're put under the pressure that they deserve to be put under.
And I hate that we've had to get angry and I've had to read child pornography and say bad words, but you know, that if that's what it takes, then we're going to keep doing this, because the things happening here at a Catholic college are just not okay. And we as a society need to stop being complacent in stuff like this happening everywhere. Okay, we're done. We're tired of it. And we're not going to quit until things are right again. And by things are right again, I'll be blunt, until Conway's gone, until Horan's gone, until things are revamped here, because we're laughed at right now, especially from people across the street in Notre Dame. People refuse to even come over here because of everything happening here. We've had faculty email Claire and I saying thank you so much. We've been watching all this unfold, and it's just we need people like you to expose it. So we are.
Mm-hmm. With that, hopefully the next episode's a little bit more positive.
I need
but
a breather.
If it doesn't have to be, then it doesn't have to be. This is a part of it. Thank you so much for watching. Send us more dirt on the school.
Yeah. So, Katie Conboy, hello. I know you're watching this. Please take note of everything we've said.
And send another letter addressing your lies, please. Because that would be greatly appreciated by thousands.
Oh, boy.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.